Friday, January 9th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Isaiah chapter 40 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Light Has Come Upon You.
The strongest lack the strength to deal with this. All the stress, all the weariness. No, not even the young men in their prime can handle it. When these seasons come, when chastisement comes, but you know what the Lord does for you? He gives power to the weak. When people are completely overcome, God promises He will help you. God promises He will strengthen you.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
His attributes. The first thing Isaiah will notice here in the heart of this passage to address these questions is there is something embedded in creation that God told you about this world that you should take to heart through all of it. Consider what's true. And you see how this applies to every moment in history for God's people in whatever darkness you're in. You know the passage. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Hasn't God made something known in His creation? And hasn't God revealed that to you? Something that you, as His people, have always been taught about God. It's He who sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants on the earth to Him are like little grasshoppers. It's He who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. You see what He's working on here in this chapter in verse 12. And you can work through all of these questions that are made here. God is saying something very clear here. Your view is way too low of me. Ties to Isaiah 6. Consider who is your God, Israel. You should know this. He's the one who made everything. He's the one who made all this beautiful creation that's around you that you live in, a tent for the sun to dwell in. Think of all this language of His glory. Consider my greatness, says the Lord again. Who's measured, verse 12, the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth with a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who do you think did all that? We just went up and hiked the other day up to Paradise Mountain, and it's like a 10-mile hike. My son came back from college and said, Dad, we need to go do this. So we went and did this, and he's like, he's 20. I'm not that anymore. It was brutal. So we went through Hellhole Canyon, and then we went up into the top of this mountain, and you look out at the vastness of this glorious creation. Every mountain He weighed out. Every mountain He formed. When Job had been afflicted, and Job had lost everything, and was assaulted by Satan, and he complained against God. Do you remember what God said? Remember how He corrected the thinking? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. He doesn't know. That's part of the problem. There are questions in this. And the questions and the assumptions made against God is that He doesn't care about you or all that He made. Is that not it? And that He's given up on maintaining it. And that He does not control it. And that He is not sovereign. So He goes up. He goes on. Lift up your eyes and see. who created all of this. That's a good thing to do when you're in the darkness. Lift up your eyes and see, and go out and look at the vastness of the oceans, and look at the mountains. Who created it? He brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he's strong in power, not one is missing. He's saying, I know everything I've made. I know every creature I've made. I formed every one. What a knowledge of God. It's hard to even comprehend the knowledge of God, the omniscience of God. Every single thought internally of every single mind and heart of every single person that ever existed, can you comprehend that? I know every creature. And your thought is, wait here, your thought is, I've disregarded my people? I don't care? Is that your thought in your hardship? That I've abandoned my word that I've spoken, which is the heart of this is, my word endures forever? You think I'm too far off for you? You think too highly of yourself. Do you think I don't care about you? This is how it's all coming out. You think I've forgotten you? I know every one of you. And I uphold every one of you. I know everything. Is not everything in my hand, says the Lord? It includes you. Do I not know you? Do I not know the ones I formed in the womb? Psalm 139. What a low view of God you have. You see, it also expresses that true disregard is not him for us. It's us for him. We've disregarded him. Jeremiah captured this, but they say, there's no hope. This is the heart of the people. It's useless. This whole thing's useless. This is what happened in the heart of the people. So we'll walk after our own devices, and we will do every man what after the stubbornness of our own evil hearts. And the Lord says, are not your ways hard? And you see, what Israel thought of God is that the present circumstance that they're in, he's forgotten, he's uninterested, and that he's abandoned. But the reality was, the whole chapter captures, it was their hearts that had turned from him to idols. And they were trusting in them. And they were looking to them. And they were holding on to them. And that's what we do when we're all stressed. We're running to anything and everything else rather than him. And our actions show it. Our worries show it. When we are oppressed and afflicted, is it not often our own sins that caused it? Here was the truth of Isaiah 40. This chastisement was all happening to bring them back to him. And here's the beauty of it. God is in heaven. God does care. And after all this idolatry and all this darkness, it was time for them to hear something. And what he really wants is to make known something so that people would again understand their God. And this seems to me the way that he works. After periods of great darkness, then he shines a beacon of light on his people so that they can see again. And it's against this backdrop of this darkness from the mouth of God that is prophesied that now God says, I want you to run Isaiah throughout Israel, and I want you to speak and to cry out. See, now it will be heard. All of a sudden, I want you, verse 6, and you'll notice one voice in the heavens, an angelic voice asks a question here. What do you want me to cry out? Here's what I want you to say that would come into the mouth of the prophet. All flesh is as grass, verse 6, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. And here's I think, the heart of this passage. The breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. New Testament captures this, grabs this verse. But the word of God endures forever. There's what's lasting. There's what's sure. There's a firm foundation for you. Everything else fails, even your own lives. But my word endures forever. And I'm declaring something to you now, says the Lord. My promises are forever. What I purpose and what I do endures forever. And I'm declaring my will and my word, says the Lord to you. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And all of a sudden, the most beautiful words are spoken that launches us into the most profound description of God's purposes for you. Verse 1, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, cry to her, cry it out from the hilltops. Her warfare's ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Wow. Give them really good news. Says your God. Comfort, how so? Here we go. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. And the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See? That endures. This endures. Here's what he just said. I will come to you. I will come to you. Your God will come to you. I myself will come to you. You will see my glory appear on the earth. I'm coming. And the imagery that we have here is get ready. A highway is going to be carved out. In the wilderness, everyone has to get out of the way when he comes. He will cast up a highway in the desert for him to ride. If you want to read the glory of this, Psalm 68 captures it. He is coming in glory. Every obstacle must be removed. Everything that is rough must be made smooth. Every mountain low, the glory of the Lord will appear. Let them hear that. Pronounce that, Isaiah. Declare that. Comfort to my people. Give it to them tenderly. Tell them this is my intention for my people. Oh, Jerusalem, I've got glad tidings for you. I want you to lift up your voice in strength and start speaking again of hope. On the hills and on the mountaintops, proclaim it. Behold your God. And the answer is God would come down off the throne himself and give glad tidings. And here's what I want you to announce. Their war is over. Tell them, great pause, I have pardoned all their iniquity. Can you read over that so quickly? Tell them I've forgiven all their sins. This is my burden for them. And I'm going to rule them. And I'm coming with a great reward for them. And tell them when I come, I will feed them. And verse 11, I'm going to be their shepherd. And tell them the Lord himself will take them into his arms. And tell them that I will carry them in my bosom. Tell them I will gently lead those who are with young. Saw it today. And when he comes, he will strengthen them. Consider, O Jacob, in much weariness, great consolation. Now, what am I talking about? Now, if I didn't have a story to tell at this point, we'd be sitting in the same place of Isaiah, but I've got a pretty good story to tell you right now. What are we celebrating? When John the Baptist arrived on the scene of history, he was preaching one great message. Repent. Turn away from sin, for the Lord is coming. His coming is at hand. And we stand back now, and what have we seen? What have we seen? Do you realize that what Isaiah describes here is the preparing of the way of the Lord, fulfilled initially with the coming of John? Your child, Zechariah, this is this language, your child, Zechariah, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for he will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercies of the Lord. What are we celebrating? I could interject in the midst of this right now. The great question of Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Shepherds one day were out in a field, and all of a sudden glory and light begins to shine all around them. And then the angel speaks, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Here he is. He is the promised one of Isaiah 40. Proclaimed on the mountaintops to this day. The glory has come. The gospel has been heralded. All of a sudden, as this happens, multitudes in heaven start singing out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace toward men of his good pleasure." Are you our people of his good pleasure? You're hearing it. And everyone, every mountain, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. My appearance to you will make everything clear of God's love and his intention to pardon. And that's what's announced today, beloved. The warfare with God is over. Having been justified by faith, you have what? Peace. There's no war. The light has come. Arise. That's what we started the service with. Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your coming. Tell them their iniquities pardoned. What a message we bring. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. The full measure of your sins has been paid for, pardoned, atoned. And the Lord says, "I want you to know I've come to shepherd you. I've come to care for you. I've come to gather you, you and your children." Now, I asked the question to close this out because we've got to get back to Isaiah in Sunday school. Are you in a time of great darkness or light? Do you see what we're celebrating? The time of comfort has come. His plan did not fail. He did what he purposed. At this time of year, in my experience, many people actually hurt. We put on a false sense of happiness. People hurt because of sorrow, loss, death, hardship. I want you to remember what you're celebrating, not as the world celebrates this thing, They've marketed it to death and made money. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. How does this passage end? The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. You do. He doesn't. His understanding is unsearchable. So what does he do for you? Listen to this. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he, end of Isaiah 40, increases strength. Even youths shall faint and become weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. See what he's saying? Take the strongest you think in this life who can make it through, the youth in all of their strength and in all of their vigor, under the stresses and burdens and sorrows and darkness of this life, they fail. All of them. The strongest lack the strength to deal with this. All the stress, all the weariness. No, not even the young men in their prime can handle it. When these seasons come, when chastisement comes. But you know what the Lord does for you? He gives power to the weak. When people are completely overcome, God promises he will help you. God promises he will strengthen you. God promises he will give you power. Isaiah ends with a bright future, a hopeful future. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because of who has come to us. It is God who came to us. I will give you rest, said Jesus. I have the power to give you rest. Come to me. Don't look to anyone else. Don't trust in anything else. Don't look to idols. Don't run to addictions and sins. Come to me. I will give you rest for your souls. This is what we celebrate today. God has come to us in the incarnation. And the warfare is over by faith, faith alone. And he promises to shepherd you. He promises to keep you. He promises to uphold you. Why would we look anywhere else like Israel did? Hear me when I say today, the word of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for such comforting words. Bless these words to the hearts and lives of your people. And may we celebrate with great understanding our God and see ourselves and what we need and receive the gift of God to this world. We shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In him we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.